This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It's a bad day for travel across the United States on the ground and in the air. A lot of interstates remain closed in the Rockies and central United States because of a huge blizzard. Severe storms with damaging winds and tornadoes are also impacting travel. We have at least 1,200 flight cancellations so far, according to FlightAware, and nearly 900 flight delays because of the weather. Texas Democratic Congressman Beto O'Rourke is running for president. He makes the announcement on a video that he posts this morning, and then he shows up at a coffee shop in Iowa where he says our democracy is being challenged.
Which may very well be a democracy soon enough in name only, unless we get it back and make sure that it represents people and not special interests and corporations.
O'Rourke now is the 12th Democrat to announce a run, and this is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule.
I was singing in the shower, singing O Solo Mio. O Solo Mio. As I was singing Mio, I sneezed. So I'm drying up, you know, and I sneeze again. And I blow my nose. A whole bunch of stuff comes out. I'm suddenly realizing that I am breathing out of my nose the best I've ever breathed out of my nose in years. I don't think it's a coincidence that all of a sudden now I'm breathing. What has happened in the past year? I'm a thousand ages. You know, little by little every day, if I experience it, I'm happy. I'm sure this has to do with the balance of nature. I'm sure it does.
When you call, use discount code USA, and we'll take 20% off any first preferred order of Balance of Nature and have it shipped to you free. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Facebook appears to be back to life today after yesterday's global outage. Facebook and Instagram users experienced widespread outages for most of the day, and while the company has not said what caused the outage, it denies it was the result of a hack attack. The Golden State governor says,
I cannot sign off on executing hundreds and hundreds of human beings, knowing that among them will be innocent human beings.
California's Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom, who says his state should no longer be associated with the largest death row population in the nation. He signed an executive order yesterday to suspend the death penalty, granting reprieve to 737 inmates currently on California's death row. Two black boxes from the Ethiopian plane crash on Sunday have been sent to Paris for investigation, and word is they've arrived. That crash that killed 157 on Sunday was the second deadly crash of a 737 MAX in less than 5 months. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Senators will be voting today on a resolution in regards to President Trump's national emergency declaration at the southern border, and several Republicans are expected to join Democrats in voting to reject the president's order, as Republican leaders are trying to hold down the number of GOP defections, but word is at least five Republican senators will vote with Democrats. The House recently passed that resolution of disapproval. President Trump has promised to veto the measure if it reaches his desk. And even though the Senate may end up passing the resolution, it's unlikely enough Republicans would be on board for it to override a veto. A mafia boss in New York is dead after being shot outside his home. Francesco Cali was gunned down while walking outside his house on Staten Island, the 53-year-old believed to be the head of the Gambino crime family. Reports are he was shot numerous times. ABC is reportedly bringing back a couple of classic game shows.
From Television City in Hollywood, it's Card Shark.
A report from Vulture says the network is going to reboot Card Sharks as well as Press Your Luck this spring, and that hour-long episodes are already being recorded. The two shows have been off the air for years, but they've enjoyed renewed popularity as reruns on the Game Show Network. ABC has not announced time slots for the shows. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Less government and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez live.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here, just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. It's always great to have you along with us, enjoying a part of your day. And, you know, everything about the show is to add to your day. We don't want to take away. And, well, I'll tell you, we have a lot to add to it, especially when we're talking about World War II history, because we've got most awesome, I tell you, his writings have captured all of us who love history. He is a military historian. Can I say that? I want to say a military historian expert, Samuel.
I suppose you could. I hope so.
I mean, for all the books that you've written about World War II, I mean, it's phenomenal. And classic that you're giving us right now, Hitler's Desert Fox, the storied military career of one Erwin Rommel. How did this come, you know, across your focal point?
Well, many years ago, over 30 years ago, I wrote my first biography of Paul Rommel.
Mm-hmm.
It was 920 typewritten pages, manual typewriter, no self-correcting feature.
Yes. Oh, by the way, the good old days, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, I sold it to Macmillan, and then got half my advance. Macmillan was bought by a corporate conglomerate. My editor got the corporate axe, and I tried for over a year to resell it, and I sent it to a little house in Massachusetts, and they said, "Gee, we'd like to publish it. It's too damn big." Their exact words.
Right.
And I said, thank you. You told me what I needed to know. So I broke it into three campaign books, a couple on North Africa, one on Normandy. And I never did get back to writing a biography of Rommel as a man. And Regnery History contacted me and wanted me to write this book. And I said, that's great. Let's do it. And there's the genesis of it. And so I'm coming back to where I started.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting that here we are. We're talking about, in a sense, a fresh look, because people say, well, why do you want to write about Rommel again? But you've got a fresh perspective here at the Allies' most, as you write, well-respected opponent of World War II.
Yeah, well, his story needs to be told. There are people out there trying to tear down monuments, rewrite history, and of course Rommel has his detractors now, as does anybody who is at least been heroic.
Right.
And I wanted to give him his due, although I did find out some things I also think needed to be published that weren't so positive, like his illegitimate daughter.
Right.
Most Americans don't have any idea he had one.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was an 18-year-old officer cadet, a filing officer, he was away from home for the first time and had an affair with a fruit seller, a young woman who sold fruit, and got her pregnant. Then he had one of his, I guess probably the first crisis of his life. He had to decide what to do about it, so he decided to marry her, and his father talked him out of it. It was 1913, the year before World War One started, but everybody could see it coming. His father told him, if you resign your commission now, it'll look like you were a coward.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not, Imperial Germany was very class conscious, and the officer corps was not going to let him marry a fruit seller. She was not officer wife material, and in those days, you actually had to have your commanding officer's permission
right
before you could get married. And since I wasn't going to come, and he wasn't going to have people thinking he was a coward, he broke off the relationship. Although he did take care of his daughter financially the rest of his life.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if he did do that. So, so this is his first major crisis that he deals with, and of course he stays faithful to his commission. And interesting with that bit of history. Now, had you known that before, or was this just as a result of the current research you were doing?
I'd heard of it. I'll tell you the truth, I didn't believe it. But so I had to get into some German sources, and it turns out it's true. They covered it up really well. They let her visit and stay with the family sometimes, and but they pretended she was a cousin, and it wasn't until her death in the 21st century that we learned that she actually was his daughter. His letters to her were uncovered, and you know, even that scarf that he wore on the desert that appears on the dust jacket of the book.
Yeah. Right.
She knitted that for him. So they, and even after his death, she continued to be treated as a member of the family. She would visit the Rommels whenever she felt like it, and was always welcome.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the mother was just pretty well set aside.
Yes, she was. She never ceased to hope that Rommel would come back to her, but he wouldn't. And she ended up committing suicide in 1928.
Oh, wow.
Tragic.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when you look at this military career of one Erwin Rommel, some say hero, some say war criminal, a man of integrity, or was he a Hitler flunky or a military genius or just lucky? What do you say?
Well, he was, I think he had heroic elements, I really do. He certainly had no fear. I remember one German talking about him, they were under Allied fire, and they were all on the ground. Rommel stormed up, and he said, "Now, what do you people think you're doing? You know, get to your feet. Just because it gets a little hot over here doesn't mean you have to belly flop every time." And of course, he said as soon as Rommel left, they started suffering casualties again. So he did have an element of luck. He was not a Hitler flunky. He did make a close pass to National Socialism in the 30s. But you know, if Adolf Hitler died in 1937, we would have an entirely different view of him today. He did some things that were very positive for Germany, reducing unemployment effectively in the Great Depression, major public works, at least in Germany, major public works projects, building of the Autobahn. Some people say he invented the Autobahn. This is not true. But he did fund it. He did see that it was built. And he restored the military draft. He rebuilt the German military. It was 100,000 men.
Wow.
And as opposed to neighbors who had over a million men. So, yeah, Hitler did some good, and Rommel appreciated it. And then Hitler read his book. Rommel wrote a book entitled Infantry Attack. And
we've got to go to break real quick, Samuel, so hang with us.
Sure.
We're going to take a quick break, ladies and gentlemen. We've got more from Samuel Mitch, and
the final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want? Bill Martinez Live.
I found healing from the wounded heart. I found mercy.
Back with the America Fresh and Independent, just the way you like us. Bill Martinez here, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Samuel Mitchum is with us. Yes, the storied historian, the best-selling military historian, and we're talking about his brand new book, Desert Fox: The Storied Military Career of Erwin Rommel. You know, it's interesting, especially in this political environment in which we live in these days, Samuel, when you acknowledge any exceptionalism of somebody who is, not American or, was involved with something or, something like the Third Reich, people might take exception of that. You and I think our president included at times, will look at people and say, well, let's look at the totality of what this person was all about and what they contributed to history. And so I will say, for one, and I'll probably get in trouble for this, but I appreciate your consideration of Rommel as an individual who, for a time and point in history, brought himself his talents, and some would say, and I think without argument, some things that he used for good and some he ultimately used for evil or participated in evil.
Well, he gradually turned against Adolf Hitler because Hitler's true personality began to come forth in the war.
Mm-hmm.
Hitler made some statements that were just outrageous prior to the war, but people like Rommel took them with a grain of salt. They didn't think he was serious,
mm-hmm.
but he was. When Hitler started the mass murders of Jews and Slavic peoples and gypsies, Rommel was in North Africa. So he wasn't involved with this. He didn't even know about it.
Right.
As near as we can tell, he got to Italy in 1943. The Holocaust had been going on almost 2 years. And that's when Rommel found out about it. But we don't even know who told him.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever did it told him that it was in confidence, and Rommel kept the confidence. He never let us know. His son, Manfred, wanted to join the SS because he thought their uniforms were sharp, mm-hmm. which they were. But Rommel said, absolutely not. You will not join the SS. And Manfred was taken aback because Rommel didn't talk that way to his son. He talked with him like an equal and tried to persuade him, but he absolutely refused to. And Manfred wanted to know why, and he said, you will not serve under a mass murderer. And Manfred asked, well, do you mean Himmler? He says, yes. It's mass murdering people. And he wanted to know if Erwin Rommel thought Hitler was involved, and Rommel basically said, I don't know, but I will find out. Well, he did. And that's when he joined the conspiracy to overthrow Adolf Hitler. And, of course, that ended in Rommel being forced to commit suicide.
Right. Well, interesting that while Rommel was in North Africa, you report that the victories there were sabotaged by Hitler's incompetent interference. Break that down for us.
Well, the Italian army in North Africa collapsed at the end of 1940, and Hitler decided to send two tank divisions to Libya.
Mm-hmm.
His remark, and I think Hitler was quite right in this, he said the loss of North Africa could be tolerated from a military point of view, but it would free up a dozen British divisions, which could be used most dangerously.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what Hitler really wanted Rommel to do, is with two divisions, tie down a dozen British divisions.
Mm-hmm.
That in itself would have been a German victory on the strategic level. But
exactly.
Rommel, Rommel went much further. He overran all of Libya. He captured Benghazi. He besieged Tobruk. And he wanted to expand the mission even further to overrun Egypt, cut the Nile, overrun the Suez Canal. It would have been a major strategic defeat for the Allies had it been allowed to do so. But,
exactly. Mm-hmm.
But Hitler wanted to focus in Russia. He wanted Lebensraum for his people. Living space. rather perverted concept. That's what he wanted. He sent over 150 divisions to Russia, as opposed to two in North Africa. And Rommel wanted better support than he was getting. 1 month, he only got 15% of the supplies that he needed. And they didn't really reinforce North Africa until it was too late. At El Alamein in November of 1942, Rommel had been pounded mercilessly by the Eighth Army, and it's time to retreat. And he was giving the orders for a timely retreat. That battle had lasted almost 2 weeks, and he was down to nothing. And Hitler told him to stand fast, not one step back. He refused to give him permission to retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, the British overran much of Panzer Army Africa.
Right.
And I don't think Rommel ever forgave him for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you also talk about how Rommel, and this speaks of his integrity and why when people hear integrity associated with Rommel, they may not understand. But Rommel, I understand, burned Hitler's orders telling him to commit war crimes.
Yes, Rommel at one point, there was a battalion of free Jews fighting for the Allies, and Rommel captured. And Hitler sent an order that they were to be terminated with extreme prejudice. And Rommel and his operations officer, Siegfried Vespal, went behind the command truck and burned the order.
Mm-hmm.
Never did appear in the files. He turned the Jews over to the Italians, who put them in regular prisoner of war camps.
They right. Exactly.
Not sent to concentration camps. They were not exterminated.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess you say they owe their life to Rommel. Some of these showed up in the Israeli army later.
Wow. Well, you know, you touched on the plot to overthrow Hitler, but you write about how it was fatally compromised when Rommel was injured in an Allied attack. We've got a couple of minutes here, because I also want to, you know, kind of wrap it up with, you know, the reason Rommel agreed to commit suicide after his part on the plot was discovered by Hitler.
Sure. Well, Rommel sent Hitler an ultimatum on July 15th and told his staff officers that if he didn't act, Rommel would. And he was going to open up the Western Front to allow the Allies to overrun France and Germany, basically quit fighting in the West,
mm-hmm.
which he had the power to do. But on July 17th, he was critically wounded in an Allied fighter bomber attack. And then the July 20th, Klaus von Stauffenberg, a colonel, put a bomb under Hitler's table and detonated it. Hitler was injured, but he was also severely aggravated.
Right.
And the Stauffenberg.
This is, of course, was what the movie Valkyrie was about, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I wrote a book with Colonel von Stauffenberg's cousin once. But anyway, they gave Rommel a choice, commit suicide or stand trial before the people's court. And he said he would stand trial, and the emissaries told him, well, if you do, we will take the usual steps against your family. They believed in Schleppenpunkt, collective family responsibility.
Oh.
And Rommel responded with, I'll be dead in 15 minutes.
Well, this is a fascinating read, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, from best-selling military historian Samuel Mitchum. He gets to the heart of this mysterious figure in the Desert Fox, the storied military career of one Erwin Rommel. Samuel, thank you so much. I appreciate the time, and congratulations on the book. It'll be linked on our website. Samuel, thank you so much. All the best to you. Appreciate it. Take care.
This message is sponsored by Ameriglide, featuring the nation's best prices on a home stairlift. Are you having a difficult time getting around your home? Do you avoid going up and down the stairs? Have you even considered moving from your lifelong home just to avoid the stairs? Forget about moving and call Ameriglide and learn how an easy-to-install stairlift is the perfect solution to help you get your freedom back. Plus, we guarantee the nation's best prices. Make this free call today to learn more. No sales visits are necessary. We can can help you over the phone. Now you can stay in the home you've been in for decades. Please do yourself or your loved one a favor. Make this simple two-minute call right now. Get the lowest price on a stair lift anywhere. Here's the number. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. That's 800-296-1434.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It's a bad day for travel across the United States on the ground and in the air. A lot of interstates remain closed in the Rockies and central United States because of a huge blizzard. Severe storms with damaging winds and tornadoes are also impacting travel. We have at least 1,200 flight cancellations so far, according to FlightAware, and nearly 900 flight delays because of the weather. Texas Democratic Congressman Beto O'Rourke is running for president. He makes the announcement on a video that he posts this morning, and then he shows up at a coffee shop in Iowa where he says our democracy is being challenged.
Which may very well be a democracy soon enough in name only unless we get it back and make sure that it represents people and not special interests and corporations.
O'Rourke now is the 12th Democrat to announce a run, and this is USA Radio News.
Get the hottest flooring styles at incredible prices at Lumber Liquidators' Spring Black Friday Flooring Sale. All waterproof floors are on sale up to 50% off. Get a dollar off per square foot on select Bellawood hardwood floors. And take 20% off new AquaSeal water-resistant laminate. Plus, ask how you can get professional installation and special financing. Get to Lumber Liquidators' Spring Black Friday Flooring Sale today. Visit LumberLiquidators.com for a store near you.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
So speak life to the dead and darkest night. Speak life when the sun won't shine and you don't know why. Look into the eyes of the broken hearted. Watch them come alive as soon as you speak hope. You speak love. You speak.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Live.
You know, I got to tell you, this is the disturbing thing about our country today is the language has gotten so free and reckless that, you know, this song is a reminder that the words that we speak, even, you know, we don't need Nancy Pelosi as a C-3PO to interpret what we're saying and what's in our hearts. You know what's in your heart. And if your heart is for the better of the person that you're speaking with, then the words will reflect that and the attitude accordingly. But, you know, our words have been hijacked by the mainstream media and attitudes are being put out there in such a way that it makes, you know, words of death acceptable. I mean, think about it. Think what's going on here. It's out of control. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm more than fed up with it all. I'm Bill Martinez. Good to have you with us. For more information on the show, you can go to Bill Martinez. Live.com. You want to get involved in the conversation, tell me that I'm off my rocker, that's okay. We really believe in the First Amendment right to free speech, because that is where we are enlarged in these areas of conflict, when we can have rational and civil discussion, and we're better for all of it. As I used to tell the people that worked for me at one radio station in Los Angeles, I said, look, the opportunity is for us to be vulnerable vulnerable enough where together our words and what we do for one another, we can be better as a result. In other words, their ability in sales, because it was a sales team I was running, for me to be vulnerable enough to hear what they had to say of a blind spot or some deficiency in my management style would make me a better manager. And my experience and my knowledge as a manager, if we had an environment that was vulnerable enough to receive what I had to share with them, could make them better salespeople. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience because of the environment that we protected and that we operated in based on that, as opposed to the kind of environment that we're dealing with in our current culture. Our next guest, Richard Giordano, has written a book about teacher evaluation. And Richard, I got to tell you here that when I read your book and got a copy of it, and you and I first started talking, we were talking about teacher evaluation. You didn't know this, but my freshman year in college, you have no idea what kind of trouble I got into when I thought it was appropriate to have a credible teacher evaluation program in place to where the students could understand what they were getting before the first day of class.
That's very understandable.
Yeah. So they were up in arms about it, and they all but wanted tar and feather me. That was back in the days when you can tar and feather the students. You know, today they get a little, you know, they take a little bit of exception. But Richard is with us in his book, Ineptitude, Conformity and Obfuscation, The Fraud of Teacher Evaluation in the Public Schools. Richard, you know, for Genesis' sake, why this book?
Well, Bill, I was a high school principal, as you know, for over 20 years. I've taught, I've gone through all the degree programs at the university level, to the extent that that matters. And I, in my career as a high school principal, I evaluated hundreds of teachers in the five different school districts that I worked in. And from the very first time I evaluated my first teacher in 1969 as an assistant principal in Holland High School, Holland, Michigan, I knew that I was inept. I could not do it. I did not have the skills. And before I wrote the book, I did kind of a national tour talking to people at different levels, a lot in public education, and I found that the circumstance had not changed. So I just felt a need to inform the public, particularly parents, that this circumstance is in place and has been for decades.
Well, and I got to tell you, my mother-in-law was a lifelong teacher, and I respected her hard work, and I saw her and witnessed her exceptional skill level and commitment to the profession. And I say that as a preamble to the concerns that I did see that I thought was quite limiting that had to do with the teachers' union. Now, I understand when I say that people's backs are going to rile a little bit, but you know what we're looking at here, Richard, and I think what you were hoping to do was to consider this as a holistic approach. And unfortunately, sometimes when we get into situations, we start holding organizations and institutions accountable. They don't like it. And we get resistance, right?
Well, yes, and accountability, of course, is what any kind of evaluation is about, particular teacher evaluation. You know, Bill, what you kind of piqued my interest with something you just said, it's always been interesting to me, knowing as a principal that I didn't know how to evaluate teachers, it's always been interesting to me that teachers haven't really risen up and said, wait a minute, you don't know what I'm doing, you can't know what I'm doing, here's the reasons why, you need to fix that. And it's very interesting to me that that hasn't happened. I strongly suspect that the union is kind of in play in this because there's kind of a wink-wink between the administrators in schools and the teachers' union.
No doubt. No doubt about it. And I saw this early, and this was as a student in school, I could see this. Because when you look at, and maybe it's just my business wiring and the lane that God has given me to travel in, I look at things like this and these deficiencies, and I'm able to drill deep. I have this ability, and sometimes it's bothersome. I go, God, why me? You know, because I don't want to see it, because it is disturbing. But when you look at it, and this is how I've had to, you know, set my perspective, is when I look at it for the good of all concerned, particularly these teachers. Nobody wants to go in the teaching profession and say, okay, I want to be mediocre. I want to be incompetent. I mean, you know, it doesn't happen that way. No matter what profession we choose, you know, we want to be productive. We want to be outstanding at what we do. And so if the system is set up in such a way that it gets in the way of excellence, then it needs to be called out for that. And in my humble opinion, the union and things of this type of organism have a way of mediocritizing the effort.
Well, I think that's true. And you raise another interesting point, which I'm glad you did, because I'd like to point out that the book itself is not a hit piece on on teachers or on principals or superintendents or anyone in particular. It's an attempt to kind of shine the light on something that's been there kind of lying dormant, not working for decades, and trying to get out in the open and get it fixed. But there's another thing you mentioned, and I was listening to you before I came on. You were talking about words having a meaning, and I reflected on Rudy Giuliani in his book Leadership in 2001. Mm-hmm. He made the statement, the selection of one word over another is an important act. Right. And that's so germane with teaching, and with it, particularly the selection of one process over another is an important act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and here we are debating capitalism over socialism right now.
Yeah.
Case in point.
Yeah.
So, yes, these things, and again, I'm looking for what is going to work where people can feel satisfied. Like right now, we are realizing people are happier, in my observation, Richard, by and large. And I'm not talking about Republicans or Democrats. I'm talking about Americans who, at large, are happier because we went through a period of time of malaise where productivity was squashed. Boy, I'll tell you, if you want to make people crank, interfere with their productivity. And now the system is being engineered in such a way that it allows for productivity. And when we look at our educational system, the biggest complaint I run into, people will tell me, Bill, look at all the trillions of dollars that we have invested in public schools, and what do we have from it? I can't argue with them. I mean, because you hear all these cases, and I can't imagine, whether it's the teachers union, individual teachers, principals like yourself who have been principals, would be happy with that kind of response. And I think this is part of the motivation of your book to say, look, at this has been going on so long, something you investigated 20 some years ago, and you go, whoa, wait a minute, we still got the same, why are we dealing with the same problem here? We're better than this. And I think this is what ineptitude, conformity, and obfuscation, if I might say, is about, and why I recommend this book for our listeners and those of you who are involved in the educational system. We've got more from Dr. Richard Giordano on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. That's 800-301-1318.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Right now, Bill Martinez live.
I am counting every blessing, counting every blessing, letting go and trusting when I cannot see.
I got to tell you, this song, every time I hear it, just blesses me and encourages me. I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for you, too, for being on this on the show and for listening and participating with our attempt to make America even greater. But it requires all hands on deck, like our guest, Dr. Richard Giordano, who has worked for over 25 years in public education as a teacher and secondary school principal. Having left the public schools, he developed a unique educational program to help university students, athletes, maintain good academic grade point averages while competing in sports. And these are people that actually showed up for sports, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, not affiliated with the varsity blues scandal that's going on right now. And you can also invite Dr. Giordano to speak to your group or organization. We're talking about his book, Ineptitude, Conformity, and Obfuscation, The Fraud of Teacher Evaluation in the Public Schools. And for more information, you can go to his website, teacherevaluationfraud.com. Did I get that right? Teacherevaluationfraud.com?
You did, Bill.
Okay, good. So that's where you want to go. This book is available at all the usual places, and we're going to link it on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Richard, you were talking earlier. You've mentioned on a couple of statements here in the earlier segment that you discovered that principals are not the best evaluators of teachers. Can you give us some examples of that and why?
There are two areas in which teachers are evaluated, and perhaps most people don't even know that principals are the people responsible for doing that, but they are, and they have been for decades since the process even started back in the 1800s, more or less in the 1900s more specifically. But there are two areas of evaluation in the process, and one is the content. That's what's being taught, like physics or chemistry or language or whatever. And the second is the pedagogy. That's the way things are being taught. And I think overall parents have a right and they have an expectation that their children would come out of the schools with content, knowledge, information, correct content, knowledge, information. Mm-hmm. But when you think about it, a principal or any other human being is charged, a principal in this case, is charged with responsibility of evaluating teachers in dozens of content areas.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think of just one, chemistry, In order to evaluate someone in chemistry, you'd have to know about the periodic table of the elements, atomic structure, atomic weight, numbers, valence, all kinds of things. Principals don't know those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go to other subjects, foreign language, history, U.S. and world, civics, other nations, it is entirely ridiculous to expect a principal to be able to evaluate those areas when he or she does not know anything specifically about those areas.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not enough to evaluate someone who's right. supposedly an expert in those areas.
Yeah, because that's something they do every day.
That's
and
right.
As dynamic as these these subjects are ever-changing. These people are there every day. They're adjusting and learning as they go. That's the one thing I appreciate about teaching, is teaching is learning, right? I mean, you just, as you teach, you continue to learn. To me, it's just such an honored profession and a golden opportunity to do that. But principals, oh, yeah, by the way, and especially under the current vernacular and system, there's so much administrative work. When are they going to have the time to brush up any kind of skill level they may have had for chemistry or some of these other disciplines?
Well, not only that, Bill, it would be physically impossible for them to have enough content knowledge to evaluate a person who is supposedly an expert. But you raise another interesting point. While all school districts across this country are kind of in what I call the lemming proclivity, they're all in kind of a lockstep.
Mm-hmm.
In saying that instructional leadership is the number one job of the principal, being in classrooms, seeing how the teachers are performing. A recent Stanford University study showed that principals across this country, you're not going to believe this, they spend approximately 8% of their school day in classrooms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that would seem to make sense. I mean, you know, because they're principals. There's too many other. I mean, it's almost like doctors today. You've got doctors worried about, for governmental reasons, federal regulations, all these other things. They spend so much time away from the very thing that they became doctors to do, and that is to be with their patients and help their patients. So all this stuff is counterintuitive. So why wouldn't it be the same, for principals as well, right?
Well, it is. And, if I may plug a little bit for the book, the book is a lot more comprehensive than we have time to get into today. I begin with a brief history of how teacher evaluation came into being, how principals became involved. Another chapter deals with what I call things that fly under the radar, mm-hmm. things that aren't being evaluated, aren't being scrutinized in the public schools today that have been indoctrinated into the schools by outside agencies, such as the issue of this whole transgender issue, which mm-hmm. is despoiling the entire public education circumstance. Then I go into the state of the circumstance as it exists. Another chapter is on how it can be changed, and I finish up with a chapter on leadership, which is another charge of principals, which they are really not able to do, and they're not doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, we go back to these things that, get into the way. And this seems to be the theme of this day. I got to tell you, Dr. Giordano, that we're looking at, these systems that aren't working and the things that take away from the ability to have it work appropriately. And why is it that we are unable to have the conversation to fix this? I mean, you got a lot of smart people in the educational system here. What is it? Is it just been so politicized? Is it, is it union control, all these other forces that are coming in where, teachers know better, because they're dealing with, their students. They can tell right there. But then they say, look, I'm federally mandated to stay on this course study. And the kids are getting left in the weeds here because they really haven't learned what they were supposed to learn. But too bad. We've got to go on to the next module.
Well, I think a lot of it, Bill, is captured in a quote I read from the late Peter Drucker, who was a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I do provide very concrete, common sense solutions in the book to solve the problem. I don't just complain about it. But Peter Drucker said at one time, managers, administrators, are people who do things right. Leaders are people who do the right things. And I believe that in public education today, leadership has fallen to the side, and we have a lot of quite frankly, lemming-like administrators who are just looking over their shoulders to do the right things, do things right, not the right things.
Right.
But they're more or less cowed by the whole aura of political correctness and the outside interest groups that are so intrusive into the public schools today.
Mm-hmm. And it's no wonder. Look at the results. Look at the fruit of their efforts. And they can argue to you, and rightfully so. Look at I'm doing things right here. This is what the system calls me to do,
right?
And that's what you're charging me to do, and I'm doing that. Why are you holding me into account for these other standards?
Well, the other standards largely have to do with doing the right things.
Exactly.
For example, I don't think it's the right thing to penalize or threaten the job security of a high school principal if he or she uses the wrong pronoun in referring to a student when there's no biological or history, human history, that would call upon that principal to use that pronoun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, you're right there on the front lines of the war here, these teachers and principals, in dealing with this current culture that has, as you say, has become pronoun sensitive and has, discovered a whole new language. I mean, this whole woke thing, Richard, if we're not woke, it's like, what are you talking about, hey, look at this. This is the vernacular of the day, and you have to be aware of it. But if you're not, you could pay some penalty. A penalty flag goes down, and all of a sudden, your career and everything is in the balance for this. Richard, you mentioned some solutions. Let's talk about a couple of the major ones. We've only got a couple of minutes left here. I'm a Pareto principle kind of guy that believes that you get 20% of what you can do, gives you 80% of the yield. So what do you think are the most critical things that could happen that we should look at?
The main thing that needs to happen is probably the university training programs for principals are another area I address in the book quite seriously. They're in bad disarray. They're into the woke mentality that you just referenced. Mm-hmm. That needs to change. But specifically regarding the content that I made an issue of earlier in our conversation, if you don't know something, what do? You find someone who does.
Right.
And there is a very easy way with the technology we have today in terms of recording, et cetera. There could be developed a national consortium of experts in each of the content areas. I mentioned chemistry. There are chemists mm-hmm. across the country in laboratories and businesses. Those people could provide principals. I don't have time to go into the process. It's a very right. simple process, by the way. Could provide principals the content evaluation part of the teacher evaluation mm-hmm. so that principal would then have an expert evaluating an expert.
Exactly.
And not having someone who doesn't know evaluate an expert.
Great idea. Okay. What else?
Well, the other part has to do with the training at the universities, of course, and that has to do with just changing the whole dynamic. Last couple of years, I've talked with several professors, and quite honestly, I referred to this earlier. There's this lemming proclivity, mm-hmm. and there is a mindset at university departments of education, quite frankly, manifest by the Department of Education chairman at Michigan State University, my own university, that is so involved in this woke mentality and bending over backwards not to offend that they really don't get anything done. And mm-hmm. there needs to be really a wholesale revision of the attitude, mindset, direction, the research capacities, and the intuitive interest at the university level for people to actually learn more about what they need to be doing.
It's going to take some courage to do this, and he is sending out the clarion call to his fellow professionals and educators. Dr. Giordano, thank you.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course, Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99 and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
anytime, anytime.